7th, we found ourselves to another Monday. Chris, how are you?
Fantastic, Joe. Good to see you. It was a good weekend, a Mother's Day weekend. My boys and I got to celebrate my wife and all she's done for our family. I hope you did the same for your mom as well and your wife.
Yep. We got a new kayak and a new guitar, so she made out pretty well.
Wow. All right. Good deal.
Some more Facebook Marketplace magic.
Man, you just did not slow down on the shopping, I tell you that much. So.
Got to keep the economy moving.
Well, talking about that, man, so is the governor. You know, we have got some great news on Friday. We're reopening. But before we do that, do you mind if I just show some data again, Joe, just so we know where we're at today? So, Joe, I'd love to show you my new data. And here's where it is. And there's good data again, Joe. So if those of you who are concerned about hearing all the news about just the number of new cases, this is just for Pinellas County alone, Joe. And what you want to still look at is this overall percentage down here in the left corner. We're at 4.2%. We were at 4.8% last week when I was showing you this number. So that means that even though we're getting a lot more people tested, this ratio is still holding and it's actually decreasing. On the right side of your screen, you see the other good news. This is the percent by each week, and it's still doing that same thing. It's going down. This is from the end of last week. It was at 1.91. We'll get the new data tomorrow, but I just did it as an amateur mathematics hobbyist, and I got to 1.83 for next week. So it looks like we're still going down on this. So those are the kind of things you and I have talked about is what we were hoping. Is if we can open up and still get the numbers, the safety of you and I, that's how we want to do it. So we feel safe. And what I'd love to do is talk about what's opening today, which are the salons and barbershops. I know you're not having the hair you had back when you were chasing the Grateful Dead, but maybe it is time for you to get some of those beautiful curls cut. And what I'd love to do is introduce you to Erin from Ecolabs, and she's going to help us with that. It's good to see you, Erin. Welcome. We're glad you're here. A lot of our folks may not know who you are, so how about if you introduce yourself to our Catalyst viewers?
Yeah, sure. My name is Erin Childs. I own a salon here in St. Petersburg on the western part of Central Avenue. And I've owned the salon for 6 years, and I've lived in St. Pete for 15 now.
All right. So you've been around a bit, and just like everybody else, you were affected. You guys had to shut down your salon. So how had that part been going? You have some people working for you and people counting on you. How has the last 6 or 7 weeks been for you guys?
Obviously, we had to close. We did close like a little bit before even Mayor Christman shut down salons. Because, you know, the first impact that we really saw were people not wanting to come to appointments. So we went from probably, you know, having 8 to 10 clients a day per stylist to maybe 3. So we decided to close. And I think for the first 3 weeks, it was really hard. It was really hard. You know, in that first 3 weeks, we obviously contacted everybody, all of our clients. And then we started applying for, you know, grants and funds.
Were you able to get any of the financial assistance from the relief efforts?
Yeah, we were really lucky. I think we were really lucky. We worked with Bank OZK and we got our PPP, probably within a week and a half after we applied.
Great.
So that was really great. And we had a really great experience with them. So that, I think after that, then we started to feel a lot better.
Yep. I can imagine. And that, so then, but you just didn't sit there. You started to make sure that the salon industry understood what was going on and started really showing some leadership about being concerned. And you, started even getting people to really discuss it at a statewide level. Tell me a little bit about just your journey in being a leader in the industry now.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Well, so, I mean, that's great. You know, I think once we knew that we could meet payroll, we could all be paid. I think the next thing we thought about was, what do we do? You know, like, what can we do and how can we serve our clients and our industry? And a big part of, you know, serving our clients is to educate the people in our industry. So we started thinking about ways that we could really educate people in our industry and have them think about things that maybe perhaps in them being occupied with trying to get funding that they hadn't had time to think about. So part of the way we did that was through a petition and just, you know, really the point was to educate the people in the industry and get them to rally around these things that we needed to think about to be sustainable in the future and a way to get it to our governor. And then we started, you know, emailing people in our industry. We started a Facebook group. We contacted the Chamber of Commerce. And then we, you know, our story got picked up about the petition by a couple of the local news stations and the newspaper. And we have a couple podcasts that we're doing. So, you know, for us, it's still ongoing. We want to make sure that salons understand, you know, the things that they face, not just in reopening, but like in the next, you know, say like 6 months to a year.
Changing your industry. And in fact, you know, you and I, before we started, we're kind of figuring out how are you going back in? Because literally, Aaron, today, I'm so proud of you. I could be doing this interview and you could be at your chair right now with a customer saying I'm open, because you are legally allowed to do that today. But you chose not to today because of the details of this whole thing. So tell me about just the choice you've made about not joining the crowd today and going in safely.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I think for me, you know, getting noticed at 4 p.m. on Friday and having 2 days to prepare, and without understanding, because we didn't have the guidelines yet, you know, there were a lot of things that went into it. It doesn't have me in a place where I can, A, actually even meet the amount of work we have. You know, specifically as a salon, we have appointments booked out usually 3 to 4 months in advance. And so obviously closing for 2 months, we have hundreds of call and reschedule. And 2 days is not really feasible to come up with how we're going to do it. We don't have guidelines to know exactly the way we would be able to do that. And then for me, what's really important is to keep us safe and to keep our clients safe. I just didn't feel like we had enough information to do that. And also to provide our clients and ourselves with a good experience. I don't want to go back to work, you know, at the end of the day, feeling upset and distressed with how I'm doing it. So that's really important to me too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And you don't want to, your clients don't either. And they don't want to be worried about that. And we also don't want to create that overall concern in the environment. But we did get some news. So how about if I just share with you and let's talk a little bit about just the news we did learn about and what we learned.
Yeah, sure.
Let me bring one of these up and see. This is what we're supposed to be able to do. Here, let me bring up the first document here. These are the orders. So if you want to, if you're watching and you want to contact your salon or your barber shop, this is what's going to be allowed. We're going to be allowed. All customers will be appointment only. 15 minutes in between appointments, none of those group appointments, and masks must be worn by all employees while performing those services. And then they're also asking you to disinfect everything, as you guys do probably any day anyway, because salons are that way. Consider providing unworn masks to clients. So they're not mandatory clients, but a lot of our members and others are getting masks for those as well. And then this whole notion of your waiting room, a lot of folks are losing the waiting room, but the requirements are that you just get rid of anything that might be touched in that amount of time. And then there's just a little other information about just who can do that. They're not putting any restrictions on the time you can do this. As long as it's every 15 minutes, you can stay open whatever your hours are. And so they've really kept it very open for everybody. Now, again, if you're in Dade County or Broward County, you cannot do that. And this does include barbers, cosmetologists, nail salons, hair braiders, body wrappers, hair wrappers, and the like. So it seems like we have a lot. Aaron, does that help you kind of get a sense of it? And is that something you can operate now under?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. I think the thing that was probably the most important to me is to understand, and we didn't actually get down to that one, but there is something on there about no group appointments. And the way it's kind of worded almost makes it sound like that, you know, maybe you have two people that want to come in together. But really, our industry, the salons specifically, and we're not talking about barbershops or walk-in salons, we're talking about salons that are appointment-based. We run a business model where we would rotate through clients. So we would have somebody come in, we would say put on hair color. There's processing time in that you consider. And instead of having downtime where you're not making any money, then you have, and this is not just a money thing, but you have that time that you can really, you know, you can take another client, you can put on their color, and then you're rotating between two. So fundamentally, for a lot of salons, you've changed their business model. So not only do you have an extra 15 minutes to add to each appointment, you can only take half. So let's say if you're double booking, is what we call it, you can only take one person at a time. You're down by 50%, right? Plus your additional 15 minutes. And for me to know that, I needed to wait for guidelines to really understand, like, are they going to allow that? Are they going to say no to that? You know, I suspected that they would say no group appointments or no double booking. But I really needed to know that in order to be able to, you know, provide the experience that I want. But also, I am a business and I have to meet obligations like rent. And I have to be able to have an educated conversation with those people that are expecting me to meet those financial obligations if my profitability is down, say, by 50%.
Yeah. Well, we had that same conversation with our restaurants last week about the 25% for restaurants and how do you spread your cost over that and try to actually still remain profitable. So you have to really decide, is it worth me opening up right now? Have I created a model for that group stuff? It is about no group appointments. So you can't have four people come in for like a bridal shower, but it does say you can have more than one group in as long as everybody is social distanced away from each other. So you may be able to try to figure out how to arrange those bookings so that you can keep the pipeline going. But
I guess the thing for me is that those guidelines are going to require me to read over them. And obviously I think a lot of this is, you know, a business owner's personal decision about what they think is right and wrong or what they think is for the best. And I think, you know, for me to read over those guidelines again and to really understand what's possible for them and through them and then what I want to do is probably going to take another couple days, to be honest with you.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's beautiful. And that's why I wanted you to talk today, because I think there's a perception, and you said it here, that business is all about money and we don't care about safety and we don't care about the rules and we're not taking this seriously. And what I'm trying to tell everybody is look around St. Pete. There are a lot of wonderful people like Aaron that get it and that aren't rushing towards anything except a safe issue for their business, for their employees, and then their customers. So Aaron, I appreciate what you're doing for us and how you're doing it. So you feel like you're going to take your time, but you will be back open and you'll start seeing people again, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You will definitely open, and we'll do it in a way that's a good experience for everybody. And then in a way that we know that we can be here for a long time, because that is really our goal.
I think here's another good chance to be a conscious consumer, because obviously everybody that's been really eager to get their hair did is they're ready to go, right? And I'm sure there are a lot of people rushing into it, which is again everybody's prerogative. You're being a little more measured about it, and so you know your clients are. There is a risk that they may look elsewhere because of the timing. They're just ready now. If they see an opportunity, they might go for it, or they hear of somebody else that has openings or whatever. But I certainly hope people won't punish people and remain loyal and stick with their what they know well and that serve them well. Even if people are being a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I think that's part of the reason I love being in St. Pete. I think, you know, as a small business, there's a huge support for you, and probably like the culture and the flavor of your business is what people really align with. What we're doing right now is not any different than we do business any other time, with the exception that this is something that we've never done before. But being really thoughtful and really measured is not any different. And we've gotten a lot of really great supportive feedback. So at the same time, if somebody really, because their mental health was suffering from not feeling good about the way they looked and they needed to go somewhere else, I would say do it.
Well, Aaron, thank you for jumping on with us, talking a little bit about your environment, the situation about opening up today. Keep us in touch as you do that. And if you learn any more, please share it with us and the Catalyst folks as well. And thank you for being a leader in our city that allowed the state to shine a little bit as well and look at it really smartly. So thank you. And we look forward to our next steps together.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.